I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get an approval of the agenda as presented?
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, can I get an approval of the minutes for the December 20th, 2022 regular meeting minutes?
I make a motion to approve the December 20th, 2022 regular meeting minutes as presented.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Oath of offices.
Your name.
And while we're waiting for Judge Kirvin to get ready, I would like to thank Councilman and Vice Mayor Haskins and Councilman Hart for many, many years of service, and thank you guys for making my job very, very easy for the last 4 years.
Thank you, man.
Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, Shane Schrader.
I, Shane Schrader.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
Obey.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States. The
Constitution of the State of Wyoming.
The Constitution of the State of Wyoming.
Code of the City of Buffalo.
Code of the City of Buffalo.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity, so help me God.
With fidelity, so help me God.
Congratulations. Next, Myra Kleene. Myra, please raise your right hand. I repeat after me. I, Myra Kleene.
I, Myra Kleene.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey.
Obey.
And defend.
And defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States. The
Constitution of Wyoming.
The Constitution of Wyoming.
The Code of the City of Buffalo.
The Code of the City of Buffalo.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity, so help me God.
With fidelity, so help me God.
Very good. Please sign right there.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Discharge duties from my office.
With fidelity, so help me God.
With fidelity, so help me God.
Sign. On that line right there.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Take your seat. Aquino. Good afternoon. I, John Camino.
I, John Camino.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of Wyoming.
Constitution of Wyoming.
The Code of the City of Buffalo.
The Code of the City of Buffalo.
That I will discharge the duties of my office.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity, so help me God.
With fidelity, so help me God.
Congratulations, Vice Mayor.
Thank you.
Let's do Julie and Sean. Each of you would raise your right hand. Starting with Gilbert, would you please state your name?
Clarence Hammond.
Sean Bissett.
Julie Sobernagle.
Terry Husey.
Larry Jubert.
And do you each solemnly swear that you will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States?
I do.
And the Constitution of the State of Wyoming?
I do.
The Code of the City of Buffalo?
I do.
And that you will discharge the duties of your office with fidelity.
I will.
So help you God.
So help you God.
Okay, if each of you would please sign your agreement, Mr. Chair.
She just got about 12 pins.
Yep, make him do it by himself.
Where are you hiding, Paul?
Okay, here we go. Please repeat after me. Raise your right hand. I, Paul Jarvis.
I, Paul Jarvis.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of Wyoming.
The Constitution of Wyoming.
And the Code of the City of Buffalo.
And the Code of the City of Buffalo.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
And I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity, so help me God.
With fidelity, so help me God.
Public hearing for the Bar and Grill liquor license for Rosie's Cafe. Anybody having anything to say? Please step forward and state your name.
Yep. Thank you. I'm Mark Wilson. I'm here as a spokesperson for Joe and Jen Johnson in Rosie's Cafe. Happy birthday, Councilman Madsen, by the way. If I remember correctly. Anyway, they were unable to be here due to a family obligation, I believe. I wasn't sure why. They just called and asked if I could come kind of their case regarding the liquor license. So I can read what they wrote, and I will give my opinion if you care. So says they believe there's other liquor license applicants coming forward in this, and they want to retain theirs at this point. And I just wrote some notes down here. They've currently had a liquor license, and I guess due to a statutory requirement or whatever, they were unable to meet the needs of a lease and then some other variables. So then it went back to the city, correct me if I'm wrong. And they're just asking to get that back based on where they're going to open up their new shop down here on Main Street. So I can just read their letter, it'd be simpler. We require a bar and grill license because of the way the liquor division requires alcohol storage. We do not have separate room at our previous building nor our new building. We knew that our license type, with our license type, that would not become an issue. Cost to install storage, also refrigeration, is an additional expense that they're unable to incur at this point. They're currently working, it says here, they're currently working with Terry Acey, Brooks McRae, local fire marshal, Jeff Schoen, state fire marshal, to ensure that the following state guidelines are met, and conversations regarding this process are ongoing. We have secured a state-certified architect, and I was going to give you guys a copy of that. They asked me to, of their facility. I guess that's the current sketch plan of what their proposal is, where they're going. We could not complete the renew process and had to proceed in this manner because of a timeline on securing our new lease and gaining an addendum from the landlord to allow for liquor sales took longer than anticipated, and some improvements had to be made, and the need for the addendum was not initially recognized. Before we could move forward, we wanted to make sure that the building would meet the state and health requirements for food service. So we had a walkthrough with Vanessa Gale from the state health department, and we had Powder River Plumbing come to look at the plumbing and gas situation over, both looked those over. We also had Joe Sip Carrillo, the electrician, come in and look at electrical over to ensure electrical needs could meet or exceed our capacity. The need for this process placed outside of normal renew windows, but was necessary to do moving forward. We had not requested any permits at this time and were first contacted by a city building inspector because we had not started any paperwork on the project at that point. We were told by Power River Plumbing that once the estimator completed their end, we agreed that the work would be completed and they would request the proper permits. During this waiting period, we have not proceeded with any construction involving gas, water lines, or electrical. We would only proceed with proper procedures in place as required by state, county, or city law. Plus, this is a historic building in a historic downtown district. We would only treat with the utmost respect. In fact, our new business hope is to highlight local history during the 40s era and part of the overall theme of our restaurant. So I guess my sister, they also mentioned that currently there's legislature stating that there will be potentially additional liquor licenses moving forward into the future as of July of 2023. So my spin on it personally is that I think that if there's other entities, and I don't know those answers, I haven't spoke to those folks, if there's that already currently have liquor licenses and are able to operate as they are now, that I don't personally believe that I would take one away from somebody that's trying to do something. Because anybody else, Louie and your guys and Tom, if I was speaking on your behalf, I'd have the same argument. So, and I frequent all these businesses, and unfortunately the breweries are half a block from my office. That's going to be an issue in its own right. But so with that, I guess I would entertain some questions and tell you what I know.
I don't have any questions.
Good. Thank you, guys. Congratulations, everybody else. Too.
Does anybody else have anything? Wrinkled.
Hey.
Hey.
My name's Renee Tiller. I'm speaking on behalf of Paisanos. Originally, I was going to apply for a bar and grill license. It just so happened by the grace of God, the retail license came available the same day. But I'm more than capable of meeting the requirements for the bar and grill. I do about 75-25, and I think it's 60-40. And so, I think it would be advantageous for all of Buffalo to have an additional business at the top of the hill that kind of anchors Main Street and brings another business that is not a title company, an accountant, or real estate to increase foot traffic, which increases the tourist taxes, which increases the income for Johnson County. But also it increases more people's potential to spend more time at my business because there's no competition because they're not doing food. And so my intention is if I were to get the bar and grill license, I would sell my retail license to Buffalo Land and Property so they could take full advantage of the space that they are trying to create up at the end of the street. Let's see. I think that's it. I had more notes, but I think I said it too fast. So I just want, if you all were to grant me the bar and grill, that would be my intention to do with the retail license that I currently have. Any questions?
Hi, I'm Louis Mullen. I'm speaking on RV Dreams, Renee Paisano's account, hoping you guys will allow her to take over that bar and grill license so Buffalo Land and Property, which is going to be the brewery building, can take over a liquor license, build a rooftop bar, and further secure that entire remodel process that's going on right now. So far, I've invested a significant amount of money, and as Terry, Tom, and I know full well, it has taken a year and a half at this point just to get permitting processes done, get engineers hired, get the state to approve of everything. So I agree, when the other bar and grill license comes available, I would assume the Johnsons will hopefully be, at that point, in a better position to apply for it. But in our case, it's taken nearly 2 years, so I'm fingers crossed for them. But I'd really ask you guys to table your decision for today and at least consider the applications that you have in front of you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tom Martins, and I'm the owner of Southside Grill. I currently have a retail liquor license that came with Up in Smoke. After extensive remodeling of Southside Grill, I've kind of turned it into a restaurant and turned it into a nice bar as well. But the thing is my main goal for the liquor license, the retail liquor license, was on Hart Street, which probably many of you know about. I've got 2.5 years of engineering, architecture in it, and can't even begin to tell you the amount of money I've got into all of that. My problem is I haven't broken ground yet. I hope to break ground this spring or early this summer, but it's not a given because of the toxic environment on the loans, the ability for me to get a loan. It would be the ultimate use for a bar and grill license would be Southside Grill, and then a retail license out. The new structure is going to be a full truck stop, full service truck stop. Be the only one of its kind in Buffalo. Like I said, I put a lot into it, and I hope to have the loan secured. I've got everything secured, including the construction company. Just waiting for the loans, and I'm up for tabling it too, but. And I'm up for it to go to the person that deserves it the most, for sure. The person that can use it right now the most as well. So, thanks, guys. Any questions? No? Yes.
Council, Travis Lawrence, Buffalo resident. And I guess with this bar and grill license, it appears to be a little bit of a hot potato. Anytime you have limited supply of something and more demand, it creates a problem. And so I didn't know, maybe for the group, if you could explain some of the pending legislation that's going to happen this spring. And I think it's apropos that we have a celebrity in Senator Kinski here, that maybe he could be a useful resource to explain, you know, if there's going to be more bar and grill licenses, if so, how many. And maybe there's a way that all of the businesses can reach their desired goals.
Yeah, just on this topic, those.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I would never place any money on what any legislative body will do, so it's not for sure what's going to come out. I've got those bills on my watch list, but that doesn't mean that they'll pass. You know, the real rub is the retail liquor licenses have become worth quite a bit of money. I mean, nobody knows for how much they change hands. The rumor in Sheridan is the last one traded for over $200,000. And by the time they have bank loans riding on that, you know, you can see the plight of these businesses if all of a sudden there's a rush of new licenses. So you will find the retail liquor dealers generally fighting pretty darn hard against any expansion of licenses. Personally, I favor expansion of bar and grill licenses. I feel like they're too limited. I think having a lively restaurant scene is important, and it's critical for restaurants to have, you know, that little extra something with the liquor. But I would not say it's for certain what the legislature is going to do.
What is the proposal, though?
You know, I haven't really looked at them all that close. I think there's three or four different bills. I presume it's expansion of the bar and grill, which is the perennial. We did liberalize the restaurant licenses. That's been considerably liberalized. It used to have a dispensing room requirement, and that's been eliminated. And so all that's required is that you have a dispensing area, which can be almost anywhere in a restaurant. And we used to have problems where the state, we'd make our own interpretation of what that meant, then the state would come in with a different interpretation, and now that's left to the cities, towns. So that gives you some potential for a lot of flexibility on restaurant licenses that we've never had before. And that's nothing new. It's just people are just now kind of catching on to the fact that we've really changed the restaurant license. I had a memo from the State Liquor Division I just forwarded to City Attorney Kirvin on that matter that you may want to take a look at as well, because I think if not a full-on bar and grill, it sure gives you the potential to get pretty close.
Thank you, Senator. Does anybody else have anything? Any more oral or written comments? Oral or written comments? Oral or written comments? Hearing none, public hearing is closed. On to unfinished business, Ordinance 1412, second reading, an ordinance providing for the annexation of Bighorn Cooperative Marketing Association, a Wyoming nonprofit corporation of the town of the city of Buffalo, Wyoming. Can I get a motion to approve Ordinance 1412 on its second reading?
I move to approve Ordinance 1412 on its second reading.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes on second reading. New business, Bar and Grill Liquor License Application, J. Johnso Corp. DBA Rosie's Cafe and Bar and Grill, license located at 42 South Main. Can I get a motion to approve the liquor license?
Mr. Mayor,
I think you're muted. Hit it again. Hit your button again.
There you go. You had me muted?
Only the first time.
Only by design.
What I'm wondering is if it would be appropriate to continue this until, say, a month from now, the first meeting in February, for these reasons, that we've got one, I guess, kind of a bona fide application here with a background of what they're planning to do, but we've got, we've heard a couple of others already tonight that likewise have ideas. But I think what we needed to do, like you normally have, if you've got one license or something and you got three people, they need to all come in with an application, and we'll set a hearing for the same time for all of them, and make their mind up based on, you know, the direct comparison of the applications and the, what we perceive to be the quality of the applications. So that would be my preference, is to continue it for a month. Now we will know more about what the legislature might be doing, too.
Would you like to make a motion to table
the liquor license? Table the right thing or continue?
Continue.
You table it. Somebody's got to vote to bring it back. I would say to continue it. I'd make a motion to continue this one and, you know, make it a known that others are welcome to come in and do the same thing.
Yeah. I have a motion to table the liquor license application.
Continue.
My apologies.
I'll second that.
I see I'm going to be kept in check. I have a motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the continuation?
Aye.
Opposed? Continuation it is. Can I get a motion to designate the official newspaper of the City of Buffalo as the Buffalo Bulletin?
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome back, Buffalo Bulletin. Can I get a motion to designate the official depositories for the City of Buffalo as A&B Bank, the Bank of Buffalo, First Interstate Bank of Commerce, FNB Bank, BioStar Investment Pool, Borden Asset Management, Wyoming Class, and Peaks Investment.
Move to designate the official depositories.
I have a motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Financial disclosure letters. If you haven't got one from the clerk, you'll be getting one. Please fill it out. If you're not sure what it is, the clerk treasurer will walk you through it. Mayor's board appointments. Can I get a motion to approve Travis Lawrence to the Buffalo Charitable Foundation for a 3-year term, Keith Neustol to the Planning and Zoning Board for a 3-year term, Travis Lawrence to the Buffalo Pool Board for a 2-year term, Phil Ostheimer to the Buffalo Johnson Recycling Center Joint Powers Board for a 3-year term, and Rick Durfee to the Mountain Plains Heritage Park Joint Powers Board for a 2-year term?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Northwest Insurance Property and Auto Renewal. Do we have a representative here? There we go. Madam Clerk, can you walk us through this? I think the total estimated annual premium is $88,693 for the City of Buffalo, and it's presented by Risk Placement Services.
Yes, that's the correct total. It's the same insurance that we've had. The price is higher this year, but we have added quite a bit of new infrastructure to the policy.
Can I get a motion to approve the Northern Wyoming Insurance for the property and auto renewal?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There it is. And now our celebrity guest, who drove down to see us and talk to us and answer any questions that we may have. Senator David Kinski.
Good evening and welcome to Council, Representative Madden and Councilwoman Camino. It's good to see all of you here. I presume there's some sort of relationship here with the last name. It reminds me when my wife and I were getting married, we had to go get a blood test. Now, this was quite some time ago, almost 47 years ago. We had to get a blood test. You're required to get a blood test. And I asked the person drawing the blood, I said, why do we have to get a blood test to get married? And he said, well, you know, this being a small town and all, we want to make sure you're not marrying your cousin and you don't know it. I'll tell you, I was mayor for 10 years, and we dealt a lot with liquor license issues. And so when I went to the legislature, I thought, well, I'm done with that. But it seems it follows you everywhere. There's always a lot of discussion on liquor licenses, and I'll get into that in a little bit more detail here. First of all, let's talk about money. By the legislature budgets in two-year increments called biennium. And because of the rise in oil and gas prices and coal prices, which is the unintended byproduct of the Biden administration's war on fossil fuels, creating shortages, as well as the war in Ukraine, as well as a run-up in property tax values, at the end of the biennium, which would be June 30, 2024, if we did nothing different than what we're doing now, if we didn't spend any more money, and if our projections hold true, we would have in cash at hand nearly $4 billion. So that's the legislative reserve account, that's the school reserve account, and the school foundation program. All those combined, $4 billion, which is a lot of money. The thing to bear in mind is it's one-time money. Those, you know, we all know about energy prices, what goes up must come down. And so, you know, when you have those kind of bucks, What are you going to do with them? Well, you don't want to get in trouble. That's what my dad always said. Organizations don't get in trouble during bad times. They get in trouble during good times when their fiscal discipline gets lax. So do you spend the money or do you save the money? If you spend it, is it going to be one-time projects or is it going to be ongoing? Well, clearly you want to make sure that whatever does happen, it's one time. And then if you're going to save it, are you going to save it in the permanent fund or save it in funds where politicians get their hands on it? So out of all that, my preference is to see if we can put as close to $1 billion as we can get into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. And that'll be there for generations to come. It'll earn around 6% year in and year out, sometimes more, sometimes less. And that's a revenue stream that we need to help our schools out. The schools look like they're in the black now, but you know that we know that that's not been true for a long time. It's just that way because of a one-time bump. The other thing that I think should be done with that money is I think we need some form of property tax relief. So out of all that extra money, I asked our staff to estimate, like on residential, how much would the taxes have gone up if it was just cost of living, and how much of the tax has gone up because of a runaway demand for homes and 0% interest rate. And the answer is about $70 million. So that's kind of what I've set my cap on personally, is that I'd like to see a rebate to property owners in that vicinity. Now, the governor proposed $1 million, about 69 higher than that, and there's already a program in place that has an asset level and income level cutoff. It's a simple matter just to raise those levels, if not permanently, at least temporarily, so that we can get some relief to people on the property taxes. That's a windfall to the state and to governments that I don't think we should be able to hang on to. The balance of that is attributable to oil and gas revenues. So that's the problem is when you see that much money, there's going to be a lot of pressure to spend. So let me talk about a little bit of that spending and some of the things that we're seeing. First is near and dear to everybody's heart is the direct distribution. So the governor has proposed increasing the direct distribution. I think it was $26 or $29 million one time. And we're going to see whether that makes it through the legislative process, whether it's reduced or whether it's increased. I do know that what I've set my cap on is to take the Madden formula, which moves a little bit more money towards the poorest counties and the smallest and the poorest towns. And then subsequently, myself and Senator Bebout put another modification on it to trying to help the smallest towns and the poorest counties a little bit more. So that we've got a spreadsheet that shows how that works out in Buffalo and KC and Claremont are all the beneficiaries of that. The problem is that there's so many smaller towns that the big communities, they see, well, that just cost us $5 million. Well, yeah, but you're already getting 80, you know, but that's the push and the pull of it is the direct distribution. The other pressure is going to be to try and put back a lot of the cuts that we made in the last several sessions, and I was up to my neck in those. I was on the Appropriations Committee, and that was very hard, very difficult to cut budgets. And especially a lot of them were social service budgets. I know some of that needs to be put back, and we did put some back the last time, but now there's a pressure to reverse all those cuts. And, you know, of course, we've been going along okay since the cuts happened, but if we restore all those cuts, then now that's an ongoing expense. It's not one time. And so now we're digging ourselves a hole. So I'm going to resist restoration of a lot of those cuts. Then there's just a lot of pressure to spend. $100 million to go into the Hathaway Fund, $100 million to go into Wyoming's Tomorrow Fund, tens of millions of dollars to go into Wildlife Trust, and then it just goes on and on and on. So the real story of this session is going to be to try and hold the line on the budget and see that that money either goes into a permanent fund, and if not a permanent fund, that it's as close to being locked away as we can get it. So that's the money side of the picture. Let me touch back on a couple of other things. Julie gave me a list of some things that you were concerned about. Let's go back to the liquor laws. The bar and grill license amendments, I believe, are to increase the number of bar and grills, and I'm in favor of that. Liquor license fees, what I've read about, it's a fairly drastic increase in the fees, and I'm not in favor of that. I think, you know, once people have a license and they build up a business case based on what they were paying, I think to really raise those fees is just kind of taken back on your word. Tavern and entertainment licenses, that's a whole new class of license. We just got to see how that goes. See how that works. I got to hear more about it. Other bills are the beer distributors franchise agreements. So beer distributors, since the time of the Great Depression, or since the repeal of Prohibition, have an exclusive. So if you've got Coors beer franchise for a given county, nobody else can distribute Coors beer. If you've got Budweiser for a given counties, nobody else can distribute Budweiser in those counties. And this is an attempt by the craft brewers to break open that law to give them greater flexibility to shop among beer distributors. And their point is, you know, we might make a distribution agreement for our small craft beer with one company, and then, you know, the distributor signs a big deal with somebody else, some big national company for their craft beer, and all of a sudden this little brand is forgotten. So they want to be able to have flexibility to say, you know, we're going to terminate that agreement and go to somebody else. That's going to be a big one. MRG, that's Mineral Royalty Grants, MRG funding. So what that is a fund that has ranged anywhere from $50 million down to zero that the legislature funds, and then the top five electeds get to pass it out and decide who's got it. And historically, at least back to the days when I was a mayor, I understood it to be an emergency fund for small towns and communities and counties. And then, you know, over time, you look at the list, and here comes Cheyenne, and here comes Casper, and here comes Rock Springs, here comes Sheridan, you know, communities that have the money. And then here comes somebody that's not necessarily an emergency. So I want to see MRG funding to go back in there. I want to see that it has some sideboards on it so it's truly preserved for the smallest communities for emergencies. And so you can think of things like Claremont's water line breaking. I mean, just right at the beginning of the summer, they lost their water line. And we had to scramble and try and get an emergency meeting of the state land board, which they did, and we got them some money. But that's the kind of thing that it's supposed to be reserved for. So we zeroed it out last session because we thought with all this ARPA money that we didn't need funding in there. But it out, there are some situations that do not qualify for ARPA money. So we're going to have to put, I don't know whether it's $15 or $30 million back into that MRG, lots of acronyms. Property tax, we talked about. And then pharmacy benefit managers, I presume that relates to your health insurance. And I know there's been a lot of the larger employers that the small pharmacies want to have laws to protect them from these giant pharmacy benefit managers. And there's like three of them that control about 80% of the market. And this, if they had their way, there would not be any small independent pharmacies. And in a prior life, I worked in healthcare, and I saw that these pharmacy benefit managers promise a lot of savings. It's usually kind of hard to really identify them. And what they end up doing is you might come out of the hospital, you need a prescription, they'll pay the local guy $5 plus the cost of his drug to give you one time, and then they take over from there. Well, you can't sustain a local pharmacy on that. They've got all the upfront work of bringing the patient on, and then they don't get the continuing sales. So I've never been a big fan of it, and I've heard from a lot of large employers that really want to stop the small independents from getting a little bit of leverage, and I have to really stand with those small independent pharmacies. They would just be wiped out. There's a lot of communities that just have one, maybe two. There's some small communities you have to drive to the next small community to find a pharmacy. So those are kind of what I've got on my list, and then I'll just open it up for questions, see if you have any other questions for me. I know there's going to be some questions.
Senator Kansky,
yes.
I just have one question. Thank you for coming and talking to us. In the beginning of your conversation, you mentioned that if we weren't to spend any more money in, I don't know how many years it was, we'd be at
$4 billion.
I'm assuming that assumes we wouldn't be taking in any additional money, or is that just...
That assumes that all our projections for our revenue collections
hold the same.
So that's the consensus revenue estimating group, where they try to project oil prices, coal prices, natural gas prices, and they have projected that they'll begin to decline. They didn't project any precipitous decline, which we've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. So just if we didn't even go down to Cheyenne, which we could not go on January 5th because it's a supplemental budget. I mean, the state is taken care of. We could not have a budget and still the state would be fine. So it's supplemental. The question is what else we're going to spend. But if we don't spend anything else, yeah, it's pretty significant. We're going to spend it. You know we're going to save some of it. It gives you an idea of the magnitude of the money that's on the table.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Tom.
I don't know whether to call you representative or councilman.
Well, this is something I've wanted to say for a while. But if you're taking in too much property tax revenue, okay, all you got to do is change the assessment ratio. We're at 9.5% now, meaning that 91%, 90.5% is already sheltered from taxes. And if you're taking too much money in, set it at 8.5%, or take whatever, calculate how much too much money you're collecting in property taxes and back it down to where you want it to be by changing that ratio. And then it's a half a page bill. You're done.
I like half page bills. So I've made a note of that, and I'll pursue that one. That sounds like a real sensible answer, because we've got people talking about cost-based assessments like Prop 13 in California, and that would just be disastrous.
It would violate our Constitution.
It would violate the Constitution.
Not violate it. If you just change that ratio, everybody's taxed on the same basis from one end of the state to the other, from Teton County to Lusk.
So to clarify, there's the what is your assessed value, and the Constitution was amended in 1990 to say all property must be assessed at fair market value. So if you want to change that and assess it at what you paid for it, it takes a constitutional amendment, which means we're a couple of years away from relief. The other prospect is you just adjust the mill levy, or in this case that you adjust the assessment ratio. Along with then that rebate would become a one-time rebate. So I'll take a look at that, Mike. That's a good catch.
Thank you, Senator, for coming down, taking time out of your day and your life before you go to...
I was just packing.
You was just packing? Packing for the next 3 months.
That's the hardest part, is leaving home. It really is.
And congratulations on your leadership appointments.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Not
you.
One, but two, right?
Yeah, like to load up.
For those that don't know, he's also the Vice President of the Senate and the Chairman of the Appropriations, correct?
Yeah.
I just have one question. Working in EMS, I see probably a little bit more horror stories that happen around town in our communities. Do you foresee any more money coming in for mental health funding this year to help out those folks in need that don't know how to go out and ask and maybe open up some more opportunities for them?
Yeah, there's a lot of proposals on mental health funding. I don't know where all they're going to go. A lot of them come back to, I was in charge when I was on, a member of Appropriations of the Department of Health. And we did cut mental health funding. And the reason is that Wyoming never elected to take any federal funding on mental health. So it's 100% out of the general fund, and it's a very, very big number. So it's one of those things that when you've got to cut, it just naturally is on the table. So I think there will be some things going back in, some money going back in for mental health. I just can't say how much or which delivery system that it would go through. I know there's been a lot of look at these, the community mental health centers. A lot of those are in trouble. The one in Cheyenne had to merge with a much larger organization. The one that serves Johnson County, Sheridan County, had to merge with a much larger organization. That may not be bad because you can spread the overhead. But a lot of health care spread through the community mental health centers. The other thing is that the front line of a lot of mental health is your primary care providers, the doctors, the physician's assistants. And so the medical society is coming forward with what they're calling the collaborative care model. And that's where they would make a psychiatrist available to the primary care physicians, for instance, in Buffalo, Johnson County, that would be a telehealth consult so that a frontline provider who says, you know, I don't understand mental health issues, can jump on the Zoom or whatever it is with a psychiatrist, review the case, review the notes with the psychiatrist, and come up with some ideas as to how best serve those people. We definitely have to do some things that are out of the box. The other one is to enter into the Interstate Compact for the licensure of mental health counselors. That was up the last time, and it went down because there were a lot of people saying it was Wyoming surrendering its sovereignty, which it's not. I mean, interstate compacts are amongst states is far superior to the federal government giving us a mandate. It's us choosing to do that. But the number of license applications is just pouring in. It's soaring because of telehealth. So there's a lot of national telehealth outfits that need to be licensed in every state, so we've gotten a whole bunch of applications. And I know some people are really down on telehealth and some of the national firms, but I think anything that kind of spreads the word and gets more help out is good. So we'll have to see in the end what comes out of it, Mr. Mayor. But you're right, and it's growing. It's for reasons nobody understands. The people in a mental health care crisis is growing. And the largest provider of social services and drug rehab services in the country is the United States prison system. Because well over 90% of those folks have drug and alcohol issues as well. And trying to get them straight and clean and sober is a key part of you know, them being citizens, paying taxes, supporting their families instead of families being on welfare.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Kansky,
Councilman Madison, good to see you again.
I had was, I know last year they didn't quite get all the ARPA money, and I believe there might have been some CARES Act money that was returned. Is there any more money that could be reallocated from the state or allocated as ARPA or CARES Act that might be coming to different organizations for more one-time funding this year, I guess? Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Madison, the answer is yes. There's just a dollop of CARES Act money. It's from people that weren't able to get it spent that reverts back to the state. But the governor has a plan to make sure that that gets taken care of and doesn't go back to Washington. I think it's like putting it into the unemployment insurance fund or something, some way to make sure that that money gets deployed in a care, consistent with CARES Act. ARPA. So the big ones are the health and human services infrastructure. And there were way more applications than they were able to give, and including Johnson County Healthcare Center had an application in that they did not get. And I believe the Appropriations Committee voted to put an additional $30 million into that. Then there is the water and sewer funding, and I believe there's another $30 million going into that. I wish I had all the numbers in front of me, but it all moves in increments of $10 million. And then there was the other one that has yet to even be released, the applications are due January 23rd, is a $50 million local government infrastructure where water and sewer is the lowest priority. So if you've got projects, and you may already be applying for that, if you've got projects that are not water and sewer, that's the pot of money to go to. And those applications are due January 23rd. That was the last one out of the gate because the priority for the state land board was to get the regulations put together for the health facilities and for the water and sewer. And this is the next one up. So that's from the last time. That one, when we were in Cheyenne the last time with ARPA money, this is still hadn't been processed yet. And then right behind that, you've got the Federal Infrastructure Act, and then you've got the Inflation Reduction Act. And what we're seeing is we have so many dollars chasing so many projects that we're setting off inflation in the construction and, you know, crowding out the private sector. And so it's really an issue as to how much money poured into infrastructure. At some point, you just can't get another contractor. The contractors will respond, but it will be at their price. So, there will be more money, Councilman Benson. You're next. Okay.
Well, again, thank you, Senator, for, again, taking time out. I know you're getting ready to head south for a few months.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, my first love is local government. I tell you, I felt like you could get more done with a city council and a mayor form of government than you can ever get done down there with 92 egos and all the lobbyists and the executive branch. It's very difficult to make some headway. Whereas, you know, every time you meet in a city council meeting, you're making a difference. It's hard to see sometimes, it's incremental, but it's really much easier to be impactful at the city council. It's also much easier to chew a city councilman out. I mean, you know, the amount I don't know what the right word is, but the amount, I guess, my grief I got as mayor is far outstripped what I get in the legislature, which I don't feel is fair because, you know, I don't know why the legislature should get off easier than a mayor or a city councilman. But I don't have anybody coming up to me in the supermarket while I'm looking for tomatoes telling me about potholes, so, you know. But it was always part of the job I enjoyed. Thank you. It's good to be here. It's good to see you. And when you're down in Cheyenne, you'll give me a holler so that I can see you.
Well, I think as of right now, I think almost everybody signed up to come down to WAM.
So. Okay. As Representative Madden knows, it's nice to see a face from home. It's really nice to see a face from home. All right. Well, thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Reports. Mr. Turbin. He's coming up with a book.
Mayor and Council, thank you for appointing me as the city attorney for the upcoming year. As you may know, I've changed my position at Kerbin. Now, of counsel to Davis and Cannon, and so I've prepared a contract that says that you're hiring Dennis Kerbin of the office of Davis and Cannon, LLP. And I would like the council to consider this contract. It has no monetary amount, since whatever is set by the council, it's whatever is, we don't even know what it is, if that's true. But I do get a check, but I need that check to go to Davidson Cannon instead of Devin's Park. So, for your consideration, I'm presenting this contract.
Do we have time for the council to look at it?
You can sign it next week. Next month.
Okay. Madam Clerk, do you have a copy?
No, she doesn't.
We'll give that to Julie. She'll get it distributed.
Other than that, nothing to report.
Okay. Terry Acey, Building Inspector, Planning and Zoning.
Our council, new council members, welcome. I'm Terry Acey, Building Inspector, in case you didn't know me or haven't met me. Not a lot to report. License and permitting is slow right now for building. We're still issuing or renewing contractor license for 2023. I'm lacking about a third of our contractors yet to send in their renewal applications, so we're still working on that. Other than that, we do have a couple agendas on the planning and zoning agenda this month. A reminder, I've had a lot of complaints lately about campers on the streets. Just a reminder, campers can't be parked on the city streets or right away for more than 72 hours at a time. Again, snow removal, sidewalk snow can go in the streets, driveway snow cannot. Other than that, I entertain any questions or answer any questions you guys have for me.
Thank you. Thanks, Darren.
Lessa. Oh, wait. Maybe you guys fight it out.
Well, yeah. I got my report in.
Right.
Mayor, Council, happy to be here. Mayor, Council, thank you very much for the appointment as well. I really appreciate it. I figure I'll take this time to take a look at 2022 with some of the numbers that we had and that we handled. We had a total number of calls into our dispatch center to our admin line to the front, which totaled 32,046 calls. Just to let you know, those calls are handled by 8 people. So our dispatchers, our admin assistants, they're the folks that are taking these calls for service. So that's a lot on their shoulders, working 24-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So phenomenal job by them. Out of those 32,000 calls, our officers responded to 11,371 incidents, meaning we responded to a call for service, or a call was an on-due call by one of our officers that was called in. Out of those calls, 684 required an investigation or a case. If you look at some of those calls, I give you a copy of some stats from last year. Our incidents are almost nearly the same. However, our arrests, we had 160 arrests, that's felony and misdemeanor arrests, compared to last year of 113. So what's that say? That says our officers are handling the same amount of calls, but they are going the extra mile. They are taking their investigations as their own, and they're following through. Out of those, we had 23 felony arrests compared to 13 last year, so we're up almost 50%. That's a good thing. Those felonies are the ones that we really pay attention to with the amount of drugs that come through our highways and through our interstates. That's a big deal to us. So some of the technology that we were able to get this year was able to download our phones and all our electronics. It's great. It's just good to see in a time where a lot of departments are kind of backing down. Our officers are still very, very proactive and care a lot about our community. When I say that, we have 11,371 incidents. That's documented contacts with the public, 160 arrests, countless other contacts with the community that we don't have on the radio, or it's just walking through town, going to schools. I'm very proud to say that out of all those arrests and all those contacts, we've had zero uses of force in 2022. At a time where you turn on the news, it looks like the police are out doing dirty work and we're violating people's rights. Couldn't be further from the truth. And super proud to say that. That says a lot about what our officers are doing there. De-escalation, talking to people, tough time. Nobody really wants to get arrested, but our officers are doing it in a way where we can get them in safely. And that number is huge. So I just wanted you all to know that. And other than that, answer any other questions that you might have about what's coming in the future and what we had last year. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Now, Les, now it's your turn.
I don't really have anything to report. Other than the second and third week of December, we sure moved a lot of snow. And I know there was some activity on social media regarding plowing Fort and Main. Well, those streets were open. At least they were travelable. We had areas that people could move. So that's where we concentrated our efforts on until we could get everybody moving. Then we went back and cleaned up. So that's why it was like that this time. And then the wind blew for 3 days, so we were at the high school, or at the schools for 4 days in a row, and cleaned 5 times. So.
Took God 4 days to blow it in.
Took us 2 weeks to blow it out. other than that, I'd entertain any questions you might have.
I don't think I have anything. Do we, on the alleys, maybe a quick question on that. Do we know? I mean, we've awarded it. Is that just the springtime when it gets warm enough to start working?
The frost will have to be out of the ground before they can start. Yeah. And they do have a due date. I'm not sure what the due date is on that. Do you know, Craig?
It's a set number of days. I believe it's 90 days. I think. Don't quote me on that. From the time the frost comes out of the ground and they're. Give them that okay to start. Then just a set number of days to complete it.
That way they can't set our thumbs all summer and do it the next fall. Well done.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are there any oral or written comments? Hearing none. Announcements. City Council meeting January 17th at 5 p.m. Planning and Zoning Board meeting January 24th at 1 p.m. And it is that time of year again. The 1% application deadline is February 28th by 5 p.m. Put in for any 1%? Get it in. Council, can I get an approval of the bills as presented?
So moved.
Have a motion or a second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I don't want to adjourn. I want to adjourn, but I need to praise the council a little bit on the lodging tax board. You know, you've heard about it. At some of the meetings we've been at, the county is starting to work on, they got their attorney working on changing some of the bylaws. And one of the bylaws is reducing the size of this committee to a manageable number. We have 10 now. We found out today that if we go back far further, there was 14 at one time, but everybody in the state has got like 5 or 7. So that's one thing I want you to think about is what do you think the tourism board is up, what the size of it should be. And we have some other things that, as far as the administrative thing, there'll be something in there about it. I don't want to take a lot of time tonight. But if you've got questions about this lodging tax board and what's wrong with it and what has to be fixed, you can call me. And I don't know if the numbers or our phone numbers are out among the experts or not, but my number is 620-9065. I think that's all I want to say at this point. But be thinking about what you want to include, if there are any things you want to include besides the size of the board and so on.
Thank you, Councilman. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Everybody?
Yeah, I'm going to